Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies, different industries, different geographic locations, and it's meant for the mid-sized companies. This is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program where the host, the guests, and the listeners are primarily in that mid-market size between 20 and 200 million. So I've gotten some emails recently with folks asking, why aren't we explaining some of the words we use, or kind of, I'm going to say it a wrong way, but dumbing it down, making it introductory. And that's exactly what we should not do. Every time we talk and we explain, like, what's an acquisition or what's an IPO or what are you talking about leverage, when we do that, we lose. You can just watch the screen. You're going to lose the CEOs and the presidents of the mid-market companies. And so we're trying to do that, you know, fine-tune aim in that middle zone. We're not trying to get the CEO of the biggest company to enjoy this. We're not trying to get a beginner to understand everything. We're trying to take care of that mid-zone. And the reason is, I just find, after 38 years of being in business, and I've been specializing in the strategic needs of mid-sized companies all that time, they are forgotten. They are taken for granted. And there's lots of help for beginners and lots of help for the guys that have all the money in the attorneys and all these extra departments and marketing departments and such. And the middle is supposed to just take care of itself. If you look at the economy and look at the answers that people are coming up with, we are, again, doing the same thing. We are giving money to the great big companies to solve their problems even when they get in trouble. We are giving, you know, we're trying to fund things for people who are in really small companies, and the middle's supposed to just hang out there and have their credit destroyed. And you can hear how I feel about it. That isn't too cool. So in answer to some of your questions, we are going to continue to focus on the mid-market, and it's important. Now, one of the issues that mid-market companies have right now, particularly in, you know, kind of questionable economic times, is should you specialize or should you diversify? In fact, you know, if you go to Ernst & Young, they just sponsored a summit in Sydney this last week, and John DeBell, you know, he leads their strategic growth markets practice and their Entrepreneur of the Year program, and he shared some research at that summit that they garnered, you know, a couple of months ago, and what they did is they interviewed 250 of Australia's leading firms about, you know, how are they growing ahead of the market. And they found five strategies. Let me share them with you. Now, this is the kind of thing that I get through an affiliation with Gazelles International. And some of you realize that I've been affiliated with them for 5 years. And some of the best research and some of the best professional education for mid-market companies is through that organization. Anyway, five things. Now, listen to this. Expanding into new geographies. Duh. I mean, think about it. You know, we're talking about a global economy. But I say duh, but how many mid-market companies, particularly the ones that are around 20 to 50, are truly doing it? There's a nervousness. There's a, you know, stick with the knitting. Let's stay with what's familiar. And even though it makes sense to kind of look for places that have more resilience, have a little more money, maybe have a little more capability to appreciate what you do, and you can establish your brand by reaching out, I find that in tough economies, there's almost a fetal position. There's a what do they call it, cocooning kind of behavior with companies not wanting to reach out to different geographies. So I want to remind you, look for a different geography, look for a different city. It's not just, now see what's interesting about it, you know, what's geography? You're looking for a similar city to where you are now, so it'll feel familiar. You don't have to go from completely known to totally unknown. You can look for a place that has a similar footprint to what you have now. If you're used to being in the inner city and you know what that feels like and the energy and the walking scale, you'd look for something else, another place that has that similar feel so you're not thrown. Okay, second secret, target one particular market and dive deep. Now, interestingly, that flies in the face of today's show, which is in talking about diversification, but I want you to listen to when our guest comes on about how to diversify, how to identify opportunities, how to leverage your strengths, because diversification is not scatter yourself all over the place and try miscellaneous things and have no control. That's not what diversification is about. In fact, if you really know what you're good at, I mean, this gentleman, his company is truly good at execution, you know, the operational issue. They have less turnover. They have more profit. They know how to do things. They know how to run things. And they notice that. And they have financial acumen. So you can diversify into different businesses that need your expertise in operations, your expertise in financial acumen. And you're not going to just diversify for the sake of doing something wild. You get it? So the second piece of advice is target one particular market. Now, that's not geography. That is, for example, you're going to specialize in hospitals, or you would specialize in, like the guys that have 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They specialize in people who have lots of extra stuff that they really need to get rid of. We're buying too much and realizing that we're just encumbered by our junk, our stuff. One person's stuff is another person's junk, you know what I mean. And they dive deep, you know. They know how to do this. They have their trucks out there and they have their website, which is really hot, and these people are talked about a lot because they dove deep and really developed a process that works in helping people get rid of their junk. All right. What particular market do you know cold? Maybe on in your database, one of the best ways to ask yourself, do you know who your top 100 clients are and what they have in common? On your database, are you so proud of the fact you have 157,000 names? Or do you really know the 250 that you are focused on like a laser beam? Just like the beginning of the show when I explained, why are we not going to dumb this down? Why are we not going to make it for beginners, even though it's an internet radio program? I get that. But who are you focused on? Because are you trying to be everything to everybody? Third one, pursue new acquisitions. They're very inexpensive right now. And we've talked about that a few times in the last few shows. There's folks out there that love to be in business. They like what they do. They don't want to go away, but maybe they don't have the operational acumen you have, the financial acumen you have. They may not have your marketing prowess. To me, an acquisition is a company in search of a CEO. So these businesses that are growing really quickly ahead of the marketplace, I personally would want to add a sixth thing. They actually have leadership. They actually have a CEO who wants to be there, is happy with the job, is developing themselves instead of so focused on their exit strategy or coasting or buying their boat or, you know, going off and dating, you know, lots of people. You know what I'm talking about. The distraction factor is huge for some companies. The leadership is spending the money they earned, and the business is flailing. Surprise, surprise. So the third point is pursue new acquisitions. Okay, fourth, drive reoccurring revenue. Now, we just had a show recently, in fact, two, with Drew Morrisrow of CTN Solutions. Listen to it, because there's a number of people out there that are still trying to sell time, or they're doing one-offs, and they're having problems with their cash flow because they don't have a recurring revenue model. They don't have a maintenance contract or a retainer, particularly service firms that are trying to sell project by project by project. I talk to speakers all the time. You know, they're trying to sell a speech at a time, a gig at a time. They'll spend 6 months lining up a program only to have it canceled at the last minute, and the amount of money that they're losing is just phenomenal. Okay, would it be better for you to, develop a strategic alliance, a partnership, a sponsorship with a big corporation where they pre-buy 10 of your speeches so that you have a program, so that you have impact, so that you're making a difference, and you're funded so that you're not worried about the next gig. There is a comparison. There is an analogy for a lot of companies. Are you selling one-offs, or are you looking for recurring revenue? And the fifth recommendation is really focus on cross-selling. That if you have one customer buying one of your products, particularly if you're diversified, is there a way you can appeal to them to also buy from one of your other lines of business? This is particularly important for diversification. Say, for example, if you're like our guest and you'll hear the details of how his journey and what he's doing, Sherman Lewis is a wonderful guest. You'll have a great time listening to him. And he is from the Lewis Group, and you'll hear why. Think about what you sell if you have a gas station. Do they also need to eat, and do they need to go to your fast food store? If they go into your store, do they also need to visit the restaurant that you might own? And, oh, by the way, would you have been smart enough to have a gas station, a fast food store, and a restaurant? Because you can cross-sell your current customers, and if they see that it's you and there's loyalty to you, it's not just loyalty to the gas, it's not necessarily that they love ExxonMobil or Shell or Citgo or ConocoPhillips, you know, or BP. It could be that they like the Lewis family. Are you like that? Are you looking at your diversified portfolio and cross-selling, you know, the lists? I've seen some where they diversify. They have somebody who's a president of one division or a president of a store or a president of whatever you do, okay? They never talk to each other. They never share lists. They get all proprietary about, you know, what they're doing, and they end up competing against each other in a way instead of having synergy. Why would you do that? You can, you know, you can even have referral fees if you get crazy. But within a business, for it to really have energy and make some money, it's can you leverage the core group of people that you appeal to and provide more things to them? That's like the diving deep. So target one particular, go back to number two, target a particular market. All right, if you're truly well-known in, say, one of the sections of Chicago, it isn't just that you know how to do computer services or you know how to do public relations, whatever your specialization is that you know the south side of Chicago or that you know Houston or you know New Jersey. And New Jersey's like several different cultures, even some of the places that look geographically small, maybe multiple sub-markets. Okay, what do you truly know, not just in geography? Which industries? Take a look at, you know, in our case, my businesses, you know, I end up with 6-7 businesses over the years, and they had synergy. All right, look, a strategic planning firm, a venture capital firm, being an intermediary getting growth financing for people, the speaking business, the radio show. You see it? Now, I have one company that is completely different, just for the sake of being different. That's why I do it, is to have it be totally different than the portfolio of the others. But shame on me if I don't find a way to have synergy among those other things that are complementary. Even the advocacy work of, you know, testifying on behalf of mid-market companies, I've done that over 30 times at state level and national level legislative hearings. There's a reason. It's not just that I got ticked off about mid-sized companies getting ripped off. That's what started it. But it's on behalf of a community. All right. Who are you on behalf of? It isn't just that you sell gasoline. It isn't just that you do PR. It isn't just that you're an engineering firm. Who do you represent? Who's the particular marketplace that you know cold? You've done your demographic research. You know how they think. You know their buying patterns. You're going to know what's the next thing they need. You're going to have heard from them. You do your research. You listen to people. You do the interviews. You know what they're complaining about. Today's complaints are tomorrow's products. So what are you, who are you truly studying? Who do you truly adopt? You know, follow what I mean by adopt? Which marketplace are you adopting so that you're going to get a hint before everybody else? What does your marketplace need next? And you're researching what they need next all the time. So are you looking for 5, 6, 7 things? Your due diligence isn't stuck on only one pattern. You haven't talked yourself into a bad game of Jeopardy where the answer is that one answer and you don't care what the questions are anymore. Just pause before you listen to our guest. What particular market have you adopted in your business? And you're diving deep to truly know them. So they're surfacing information through an interaction with you so you know what kinds of opportunities you're always looking for. Then you have a chance at controlled diversification. Now, on that note, I'm going to take a break, and we'll come back, and I'm going to introduce you to someone who's living this journey. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business. The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about the growth strategy of diversification. And my guest is Sherman Lewis III, of the Lewis Group. Sherman, you there?
Yes, I am. How
great.
Are you?
And one of your many accomplishments is that didn't the National Urban League label you the Entrepreneur of the Year for last year?
Yes, for 2008, they honored us with that award.
That's pretty cool. And we're going to go through a few of your other accomplishments. I mean, you fast-tracked $125 million pretty quickly here. And what I'd like to do in this segment is let's go through a little bit of your journey, because I think one of the things that happens with folks that are wanting to diversify their companies, they don't know where to start. And in your case, you didn't know you had this competence in operational excellence and financial acumen the first time you went into a business deal, did you? I mean, didn't you start in real estate?
Yes, started with residential real estate in the D.C. area, and
like what? You buy a house and flip it, kind of thing, or what?
Well, basically, I bought my first house. I ended up having two roommates live with me, and then you could see the growth of the area, so I started buying other homes actually in the same area, townhouses, and renting them out, or condos.
That's pretty cool, you know. And that sounds funny. Did you do that when you were in college, and you know, on the
Right after college.
Right after college. What did you study in college?
I was a economics and finance major in college at Virginia Tech.
Okay. So you knew you had an interest in that.
Oh, yes.
Now, I know this sounds funny, and it's a while ago. Did you know that those houses were going to work and that you were going to make money on it, or did you worry? I mean, a college kid doing that, I mean, that's a little scary.
Yes, I mean, definitely. It was everybody that I talked to said I was crazy. You know, and there's definitely some risk and some worry, especially when things will slow down and so forth. But I think any entrepreneur takes risk.
Yeah.
I try to take very calculated risk.
Did you ever get bit? I mean, if you were a landlord, I mean, you can end up having somebody trash the place and end up spending a lot of money just kind of recouping it. Did you ever have anything like that happen?
No, No. It was a very nice area. Some of the people I rented to was a vice president at AOL.
Yeah.
One was to a couple that worked for the State Department. So it was very kind of a high-end renters.
It sounds like Donald Trump talking about his first deal was asking for $5 million from his father. Did you get finance from a bank for your dad? How'd you start? If you mind
the
asking.
First house I bought that I lived in, my father co-signed for me. And actually, we did a couple more deals after that together.
Yeah.
And then, after a while, as my income was growing with the companies I was working for, I was able to do it on my own. But definitely, my father helped me get started.
Good for him. He's probably proud of you because you didn't, you made good. But I bet you were excited
exactly.
The first time it was.
And actually, he's still my partner today with my current business.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. How old's your dad?
He is 67.
Oh, I'm going to reveal my age. My dad's 87. if he was still my business partner, he'd be talking about the Depression and worrying about 1929 and such. I don't think I could.
Right.
Actually,
I think I'm more conservative and cautious than he is.
Really? All right. So this is a while ago. So now how did you shift, people on that are listening to you don't quite know the journey. You went from, having residential kind of things to gas stations. Was that next?
Well, actually, as the housing market grew and it started going way up, I could definitely see that it was, growing a little bit too fast and that wasn't going to last forever. I knew it had to come down eventually, and I actually probably got out too early, but obviously I'm glad that I got out when I did. But I guess probably around the 2001, 2002, and I think I had one more property in 2003.
Yeah.
I started selling off those properties, and I started investing in businesses. I wanted to have a business that had generated cash flow, and I wouldn't have to worry about selling at a certain point, but would just continue to generate cash flow.
See, that recurring revenue model I was talking about in the introduction. Real estate's great, but you know what? There's this, where's the revenue?
Exactly.
So is that when you bought the Dream Nightclub? Was that what you bought?
I became a partner in the Dream Nightclub in Washington, D.C., yes.
What'd you know about a nightclub?
Nothing at all, but
gutsy.
The gentleman who was the key owner and main partner, he had a lot of experience. He had already done some other clubs and restaurants in the D.C. area, and he just had an excellent reputation, and I could just see how well he was doing, and so I became partners of his.
Okay, so you bring the financial acumen. You've had enough of these other properties that you figured out how to manage money and move it and have the right kind of customers. And then
right.
If you have someone who has the operational expertise, you're willing even to try a nightclub. It's still good.
Again, I'm not for sure if I'd do it again.
Okay, I was going to ask, how did it go? Because that's not an easy business.
Exactly. Nightclub business is not easy business. The nightclub that we had did very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do, probably the first couple of years, we did 10,000 people on a normal Friday night.
Whoa.
So it was
very did you
successful.
Learn a lot then?
And we've actually even had presidents, former presidents, and at the time current presidents who came to that club. So it was a very, very high-end, very nice nightclub.
So now what kind of things did you learn during that phase? Because I think it's helped you discover what you're good at.
Well, I guess probably one of the biggest thing is from the club point of view is, I was a minority partner in that situation, and from that I learned I didn't want to be a minority partner anymore.
Yep.
I wanted to be a majority partner if not control the whole situation. We also at the same around the same time I also co-founded a company by the name of eAgent.
Okay.
Which was a website for real estate agents to provide them with leads.
Okay.
And so that was another opportunity to try to, diversify a little bit and get out of the real estate business and more into a business that's generating cash flow.
Okay. So now, how did you know how far you should spread your risk?
I guess you kind of, at least for me, you kind of go until you get to the point where it's too much.
So you go where it's too much and then ratchet back?
Yes, exactly, almost. You kind of know yourself very well and know your organization well and know your people well and be able to kind of judge that as you're going along.
See, some of my clients that are into diversification, what they do is they go as far as they can and keep hiring assistants because if they only judge themselves, they would ratchet back too far and it would be too back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
They have
these,
really strong assistants. Have you done that?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have strong operations people, managers, and so forth that are, my right hands and do a lot for our organization.
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to say that most times when you get yourself into a situation where it's like you almost get into be too much, usually I've found that it doesn't last very long. you know, you might have a tough period of time for the first 6 months or a certain period, but you're usually able to put things in place in order so that over long term you're able to do fine.
Now, did you create a holding company right away that would be able to be like corporate that was funding the various ventures, or did you keep them all separate? How do you do it?
We pretty much keep them all separate. We have an entity by the name of the Lewis Group, which kind of is our, the umbrella company, but actually, as far as organizations go, they're actually all separate.
Okay, so if an individual real estate holding or a nightclub, you know, went belly up, it doesn't take down the rest,
exactly.
And you won't necessarily have one real estate holding kind of funding another business that's kind of in trouble. You don't do that.
We try to keep everything, like you said, very separate. We don't want to have one issue with one place, and then that causes the whole organization to fall down.
So now, when did you get into gas stations? I remember you saying something about your sister was an assistant dean of a law school. She found out that Shell was leasing gas stations, et cetera.
Yes, actually, I had my sister had referred me to one of her former students at her law school, and he was looking for some apartment complexes for me in the Houston area.
Okay.
And then he heard through, I think, a friend of his that Shell was getting ready to divest and to stop doing the operations of all their stores nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, Shell was the owner and the operator of the gas stations, and I guess in 2003 they decided to lease out all of their gas stations.
Yeah, big change.
To independent owners.
Okay, now, you know, just for the listeners hearing this, if you had, you know, some real estate holdings, but they're primarily residential, you're renting to people to live in places, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you had a couple, you had the e-commerce related business for realtors,
yes.
And you had a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Why gas stations? How did you think you could do it? That sounds like a big jump. For some people, they'd go, now, wait a minute, that's the uncontrolled diversification. How'd you know you could do that?
Right. You know, I guess from my point of view, if you can hire the right people and you're good at management, then I think you can pretty much almost learn and control any business that you're in.
Well, you'd learn a lot having 10,000 people coming through a nightclub on a Saturday night.
Definitely learn a lot from that.
That would test your operational acumen.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, when we got into the gas station business, we hired a lot of the existing employees that had been working for Shell.
Yeah.
And that were the store managers and cashiers and so forth. So from a, you know, operations point of view, you know, they were basically just continuing to operate the stores.
So you took it on because you thought it looked like it had a good, you know, branding model. It had, you know, ongoing revenue. It needed, you know, the types of skill that you had. But it's a big chance. How long did you give it?
Well, I mean, we've given it a long time because obviously we were still in the business.
Yeah, but like when you first did it, did you say if this doesn't work within a year, we're getting out or anything like that?
Well, our initial, actually, when we first got into the business, we were under a operation contract. So it was a 3-year contract. Obviously, if you were having problems, you could exit. But, you know, several people actually who got into that business ended up exiting the business.
Oh, yeah, most of them do. They don't know what, you know, it's a guy that wants to run a gas station and, you know, is way over his head a lot of times with the business part.
Yeah. I understand about 30% of people who got into that at the same time are no longer in the business.
Exactly. All right, now we got to take a break, but I want to hear, how did you really figure out, you know, multiple gas stations and stores? That was the time when you truly, I don't know, your expertise shows. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amber. We'll be right back with Sherman Lewis talking about how do you manage a diversified portfolio.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtain growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Eldonna Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONNA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Eldonna Ambler.
Welcome back to the show, The Growth Strategist, and I'm Eldonna Ambler, and today we're talking about growing your business through diversification. I want to remind you that, you know, real wealth is made during recessions, and the true entrepreneurs that I've met in my life, they do well in recessions, and one of the reasons is the entrepreneurial behavior of looking at opportunities and, you know, kind of doing the due diligence about what's out there. They're also very conservative when you watch how they analyze their opportunities. So today's guest is Sherman Lewis of the Lewis Group, and we got far enough to be into, you know, you got to the point where around 2000, what, two or three, you started looking at Shell gas stations, and you got into that. Now, that wasn't what you were in before. So how did you manage growing multiple, you know, stations and fast, you know, it's convenience stores, right, that are attached to them?
Yes.
Okay, that was not what your background was. How do you handle that? How do you succeed in that?
Right.
What'd you do?
From our point of view, you know, there are several things that have to be done. First, you've got the right people. You have to make sure that your organization has the right people that understand the business, that can handle the operations. So that was key for us. Like I said before, we hired a lot of people that were already in the business. We weeded out a lot of people, though, that either weren't right for us or that we were having problems with, either because of stealing or whatever it may have been.
Did you have bad attitudes or whatever that you used to help you stay on top of hiring and firing and performance? A lot of people, you know, they think they do well at that, and then they get bit. What did you do in specific to control that?
As far as, you know, when we were hiring the existing employees, you know, of course, you know, evaluating everyone, looked at their past history, had a chance to talk to them quite a bit and interview them. And then, of course, the main point is when we were actually, you know, we hired them on, they're working for us, and then just seeing kind of their work ethic, their attitudes. And, again, you know, we obviously made mistakes. There are some people that we had to let go in the first couple months for various reasons. And, you know, the hardest part is to you know, obviously let people go, but you have to in order for the whole organization to do well.
Now, do you have a really strong HR department?
No, we don't. We have basically one person in HR, and then myself that evaluates a lot of people, and then of course the store managers.
For the store managers.
Say again?
You must have to hire well for the store managers because day-to-day, you're looking at deals. You're in Vegas now looking at another deal. Somebody's watching the day-to-day performance, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, our store managers are very critical, and we also have for the gas station operation, we have two operations managers.
Okay. So
they're very critical people in the whole management of the business.
Yeah. You'd have to hire slow and fire fast, you know what I mean?
The first couple of years, the only thing I was doing was the business, totally focused on it, in the stores all the time, basically spending, 12 hours a day, totally focused on the business itself.
Yeah. And there would be things you'd learn about how gas stations are different from a nightclub, I would imagine.
Oh, very much so. I mean, different than pretty much anything I'd ever done before. So that was a challenge. But, again, if you're willing to put the time and effort and really look at some of the key metrics, there are certain things, when I was first getting into it, I was looking at everything. But now, you're able to kind of step back a little bit and have certain things that I look at on a daily basis and on a weekly basis.
What are some of the kind of give you important metrics for you? It sounds like turnover would be an important metric for you.
Turnover is huge. In fact, that's one of the things that we're very proud of, is that we have one of the lowest turnovers for our industry in the Houston area for our brand.
You're number 8 out of like 540 Shell stations across the country, aren't you?
Actually, number 8 wholesaler out of 540 wholesalers.
Well, that's pretty cool.
We have 10 stations, and they have, between 10 and 30 stations themselves. So out of, I think, probably Shell has 3 or 4,000 gas stations. So,
that's pretty cool.
Yes, very proud of that. We've got that.
Also, one of them is the turnover rate, I would imagine. But what are the other metrics that you guys sit on all the time?
Obviously, sales, year-over-year sales, month-over-month sales. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things is shrinkage. Mm-hmm. How much is going out the store without being paid for. That's a key metric. A lot of times you'll have a cashier that will sell a pack of cigarettes for $4, but it never gets into the register.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we look very closely at.
Anybody in retail knows, watching for the theft.
Exactly.
Is an issue.
Important.
It's too easy. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Besides that, labor cost, very important to the business. You have to be able to control. That's one of our biggest expenses, so being able to control that on a weekly basis is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the other thing I look at closely is complaints, customer complaints. Shell has a hotline that they have set up for complaints for customers, and then also we have our own number that people call for complaints, and I look at those.
Yeah, you sound like that kind of company, that you'd actually want to know what they're thinking.
You find out so much. You find out about how the employees are. You find out how the store's looking. You find out so much about the business, whether we get the right pricing involved, whether or not people are actually being given receipts. And those little things that you can find out via the complaints, you can find out what's going on when you're not there in the store.
Mm-hmm. So now how many gas stations do you have now and how many stores?
We have a total of 10 gas stations, 10 gas stations, convenience stores, car washes. And then we also purchased last year a restaurant by the name of Cabo's.
Here we go, diversifying again.
Yes.
What made you get into an actual restaurant this time?
Well, again, our goal is to diversify. It's hard to predict the future of the gas station business or our particular locations.
Right.
So we like the idea of diversifying into other businesses. Mm-hmm. We think the restaurant business is a good business for us to diversify into. And we think the Cabo's, right now there's only one location, but we think that could possibly be a brand that can grow very strongly. It's been in the Houston area for over 10 years, and it's a very strong brand, and it's a great location, and we think that we can really grow with it.
Hey, the next time I'm in Houston, I'm going to show up.
You have to.
I want to check
downtown
this out. Yeah. So, like, in 5 years, you're going to want to have, 15 gas stations and co-brand your fast food and have, Cabo's be a franchise, multiple locations?
Yes, and we're also looking at some other opportunities with some major fast food brands as well.
So now, what do you look for? Here's the issue. When somebody's diversifying, it's the pace of the diversification, and it's the criteria for what they take on. What's your checklist when you're sitting in Vegas today? What's your little checklist for, should you or shouldn't you when you're looking at a deal?
Right. We are looking a lot of times for very strong brands, someone that already has a strong clientele, strong group of customers that. You're going down the street, if you're in a different city, you can go to, a Shell, and pretty much what type of gas you're going to get. Hopefully that's going to be a great convenience store, a clean restroom, good customer service. Mm-hmm. We're looking for, a business that has just that high quality of and respect from the customer. So that's one of the biggest things that we look at. Mm-hmm. The other things that we look at is, from the back operation point of view, strong advertising, strong support systems, the technology.
So you're buying into existing organizations that had a head start in the brand instead of you creating it from scratch.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like when you get involved, you kind of elevate, like, the customer service numbers and the retention numbers, and you advance the brand. That's what
we really think that
party.
We're good at operations.
Yeah.
You know, we're not focused on marketing. We're not focused on all of the things that are involved with the technology, even per se. We are really focused on the operations point of view and trying to be the best operations, best customer service, from our point of view, at the lowest cost possible.
So who would drive the Cabo brand marketing?
Say again?
Who would drive the restaurant brand and marketing?
Well, Cabo is going to be a unique situation for us because it is our own brand now, and we have to treat that differently. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, though, a slow growth for Cabo's. We're going to have to be the ones that's going to be doing all of that. But it's going to be a slow growth.
That's going to be another learning curve for you is,
exactly.
How do you have marketing excellence?
It really is. And, so that's a whole new new area for us to get into, and we're excited about it. But, again, traditionally we've always liked going with existing brands and with people that have already had, nationwide presence and so forth.
This is one of the issues that some of my clients have had related to diversifying. They can leverage a couple of their capabilities, like operational excellence and financial acumen.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they go further beyond what they've been doing, now they have to be excellent at a third thing. And they tend to, try to outsource it to maybe an advertising agency to help them with the brand management, and then it gets away from them.
Right.
So, can they screen? You can almost acquire a marketing company that yours is the primary contract for them. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes a smarter way to do that than farmed out.
And we have done that a lot of times in the areas that we don't have the expertise or we don't have any interest in becoming the experts.
Mm-hmm.
We will do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the things that we did early on with the Shell gas stations is we outsource all of our audit work from an inventory point of view and calculating our shrinkage and so forth to an outside company. That's that's all.
Oh, that makes sense. So you're not lost in minutia.
Exactly, and also the other great thing about it is that we know our numbers are real. Instead of, sometimes we do it internally. If there's ever an issue with an employee or becoming friends with another manager, you can start to have issues with that.
So your form of diversification is actually acquisition. You're looking for turnarounds with good brand potential. Am I hearing it right?
I would say that's very true, yes.
Okay. So because what you would emphasize and how you would start and your due diligence is going to sound different from someone who is diversifying by, say, spinning off an innovation from the base of their product line or creating a new entity. Yours is you're looking for someone who had a head start, but they might have gotten tripped up. Something's not quite right.
Exactly.
But you see potential.
Exactly.
All right. That's important for people to hear.
Yes. The common point between the restaurant, that is one restaurant, and the gas stations is that they both have histories. Obviously the restaurant has a short history, but it has a very strong history in Houston.
Okay, now I got to go to a break. You can hear the music. So we're going to come back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Sherman Lewis talking about how he does turnarounds with good brand potential.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtain growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Eldonna Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONNA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice.
What if something happens? Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Eldonna Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler, and it's a peer-to-peer-to-peer program for mid-market companies. We, our guests, our hosts, our listeners, our CEOs and presidents of companies between 20 and 200 million, and we rotate through different growth strategies, geographic locations, and industries each week. And today I'm interviewing Sherman Lewis of the Lewis Group, and this is a diversified portfolio of gas stations and convenience stores and restaurants, and primarily around the Houston area, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now where we left off before the break is I was asking, you know, your approach is that you're acquiring turnarounds with good brand potential. And I wanted to know, like, you know, what's your criteria for acceptance and rejection? And maybe one of the ways I should ask it is, have you ever turned down a deal?
Oh, definitely.
Based on what?
You know, it's been actually probably, we probably only do one out of every 10 deals that
buy our
way.
Okay, give us your secret checklist. Everybody, you could tell your secrets and a million people would never do it.
Right.
So what's your checklist?
I guess probably, first off, you know, we look at every deal first off. Just unless it's incredibly just a stupid idea in our opinion, we look at every deal. Because we never know. Obviously, when I was living in D.C. and involved with the real estate and club and the website, you know, getting into the gas station business was a totally different business for us.
Right.
But,
so you look at the outrageous. You don't say, nah, too
no,
fast.
No, exactly. We
okay.
want to look at every opportunity that comes by our way and evaluate it. But again, you know, once we've had a chance to do the evaluation, and it may be a quick evaluation, or if it looks obviously looks decent or to be a decent idea, then we'll look at it further.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are several things that we look at. Obviously, you have to do your research on all your financials, the sales and the purchases and expenses and so forth. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times with most opportunities, the costs are going to be kind of out of whack. And that's kind of one area that we think we specialize in is, now, hey, as long as the sales are there, there's opportunities still for growth, we can work on the cost, and that's one of the things that we can really, really trim and really really kind of add our special touch to and get that down.
So a company that's like really operating well and they know how to manage all that, you wouldn't want to buy because the people there wouldn't appreciate the difference in how you turned it around in some ways. You're looking for good, you know, growth potential and the market potential, but you want to see a couple of problems.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I don't have a problem buying a very successful business, but most times those very successful businesses are going to have high evaluations on them.
Exactly.
So,
and why do they need, you know?
Exactly. The opportunity to get in them and to be able to actually make money is going to be a real issue. So we find there's actually more opportunities where it hasn't been necessarily managed very well, Mm-hmm. And there's opportunity for us to go in there and make some changes and to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, always having a strong brand that we know that, hey, if we do the right things on the backside, from a customer service point of view, from a financial point of view, from an operations point of view, things will work themselves, really work themselves out as long as we're taking care of the back office.
I think if you take the nightclub out of the mix, you've had fairly complementary businesses. Is there a business you've turned down because the industry and the type of thing was just so different? You knew you're stretched too far.
Oh, definitely. Not necessarily stretched too far, but just, you know, businesses that we weren't interested in being in.
Like what?
We've had people come to us with several ideas, but I remember one was a sleep center.
Yeah,
and
that's so different.
We just didn't feel that a sleep center was our area of expertise. We didn't think that we could really add anything to the mix of things to make it a worthwhile investment for us.
I can understand that, even though the market potential is there because, you know, the people are trying to analyze what's keeping them from sleeping and they're more aware of it, you know.
Right.
But that's a whole different field of how it's regulated and what kind of doctors and nurses and all that you'd need. And
exactly. And that's really, I mean, we kind of, for the most part, on the retail side of things, that's a whole different business.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really be like close to lots of doctors, get referral business from them, and just, you know, it's really a whole different category of business.
Yeah. And, you know, I grew the consultancy to 123 full-time consultants across 6 offices internationally. And frankly, you know, you haven't lived till you've herded the cats that are, you know, the professional people. It's just a different thing.
Oh, it definitely is.
It really is. It is.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is on your checklist?
For our retail gas business and our restaurant business, as long as we're offering good food, good products, gasoline, whatever it may be, in a good, clean environment with good customer service, we're going to do well.
All right, now, the biggest challenge you have now is the cost of oil or, you know, a vendor issue where they can't get credit. I mean, running your businesses now during a recession, that's not easy. What's your biggest challenge?
You know, I would say things are going very well for us at this point in time. We're like I said before, we're very conservative. So, you know, our banks are coming to us and saying, hey, you know, we want to do another deal with you guys. We want to grow. You know, we can't do deals with other people because of various issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're very, you know, anxious to do deals with us.
Well, one of the things that might happen from this radio program, and it's happened before, is the guests get, you know, business. So I'm going to get some, I'm going to get some contact information coming out here because there may be someone who's listening who has a diversified portfolio and there's a piece of their business that is underperforming for whatever reason. It's got great potential, but it needs operational acumen, and it might fit Sherman Lewis's portfolio better. Okay, so if someone has that, Sherman, where can they reach you?
They can email me at Sherman Lewis, S-H-E-R-M-A-N, L-E-W-I-S.
No space, no underline or anything like that.
That's correct.
Okay, at?
At T as in Tom, N as in Nancy, L as in Larry, Ventures, VENTURES.com.
So what do those letters actually stand for?
T&L stands for actually the next level. It was a company that we had set up a long time ago in Texas to do some of the apartment complexes.
T&L, okay, the next level. I gotcha, all right.
Yeah.
Any kind of phone number or whatever?
Email that we used a long time ago. Phone number is 832-202-4326.
Very good. And people who want to contact me, if you didn't hear that, if you know my name, it's easy to reach me, Aldonna, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONNA. I had multiple businesses, so multiple telephone numbers, so if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number. So one of the things I like to do toward the end of the show in our last couple minutes, Sherman, is talk about the future. Are you going to be diversifying beyond restaurants and gas stations and fast and convenience stores?
We're always going to look at every deal. Right now, our focus is going to be though on the gas stations and the fast food.
The
restaurants.
To stay in retail.
We think we have our hands pretty full right now, and we want to continue to grow quite rapidly in those areas.
Yeah.
But again, we're always, you know, eager to look at deals, and you never
How
know.
How large
what,
do you think this company is going to get?
How what?
How large do you think your company is going to get in the next 5 years?
I would probably say that we would like to really, if we're talking from a tenant nationalization point of view, we would like to grow that by 50% and then probably add another 10 to 20 fast food restaurants to that mix in the next 5 years.
Well, you know, if you haven't read the Blueprint to a Billion, Sherman, I think you need to read it because you were really, you know, you're really moving toward that. So pull out the book, start reading it, and ask yourself, you know, oh, that's an interesting chapter.
I will.
So my wish for the listeners, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. The secret to that phrase, by the way, is you first need to be profitable. Reverse the phrase, profitable, sustained, then your growth strategy, and then accelerate, not the other way around. If you're in a hurry to do something when you're not centered, it really falls apart very fast. So this is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and I want to thank my guest, Sherman Lewis, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.